And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. We are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we've got a special treat for you. Brad, you were talking about all those mushrooms that you were foraging for. And I've got a guy on the live line right now that cooks with more natural ingredients than any other human on this earth, I believe. I'm a little partial because he is my nephew, but he is the executive chef of an organization called Olympia Provisions in Portland, Oregon. He oversees five restaurants, and they make a ton of charcuterie, all kinds of smoked meats. And this guy, you know what? He's forgot more than I'll ever know, but this is the blood in the family that goes about grilling and cooking and eating. So now on the live line, Eric Joppy. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Man, we're excited to have you. Yep. Everything good with you, brother?
So great. Yep. Really good.
Good. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about venison just for about 30 seconds. Is that if I've got a venison roast, which is a piece that usually goes in the crock pot, I want to go the other way with it. I want to see, is there something I could do that with this to cure it? What would that look like? How long would that take? And what is the result going to be? And I'm just looking for a little direction there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple things that I would do. The first thing that I would probably do, you could look at doing, something like a ham, something that would be cured and air dried for a long time. But that's kind of outside the wheelhouse of most people. The best thing that I think I would do is try and get some pork fat and cure that venison with some salt, and then just cook it really low in that pork fat, and you'll end up with what we call rillettes, which is it's just a shredded. Imagine you put that thing in the slow cooker and it braises all the way. Instead of braising it in stock, you would braise it in fat, and then you preserve it in that fat that the fat cap on it keeps all the air out of it. And it turns into basically venison butter. Spread that on any, bread, make a sandwich out of it. It's pretty insane stuff.
But that sounds insane. You know what? We probably don't have time to explore that further, but, that's something that you and I are going to talk about off the air, because if I can roll into deer camp with some venison butter.
Oh,
I think
baby.
The boys are going to call me the god, and I'm going to give you all the credit, brother.
You're going to be stuck back at the thing.
Your boys are going to be excited.
Yeah.
You're going to be in kitchen duty.
Exactly. But I really thank you for that. What I really want to talk to you about, though, is your work and what you do. You've got five restaurants out there, to nearest I can tell, and you're in charge of the menus for all five of these. And many of your specialties are charcuterie. So can you give us charcuterie 101, what it is, and then a little bit about how you pair things with it, so our listeners, anybody can go buy a piece of dried sausage, but it's what you do with it that makes the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about charcuterie, it kind of sounds like a fancy word. Basically, what we're talking about is things that most people are familiar with: sausages, salamis, pâtés, the rillettes, like I was mentioning, anything that is meat that's been preserved, right? So the company that I work for, Olympia Provisions, makes 63 different products that are, run the gamut of all of those different types of salamis and sausages and pâtés and everything. And we also do a bunch of pickles in-house, which, are sort of vegetable charcuterie, if you could imagine that. Our restaurants are just dedicated to showing off different ways to utilize all these products. Fresh sausages, we're talking about, you can imagine any kind of condiment. We've actually, tried to put everything from mac and cheese to Caesar salad on a hot dog, and it all works. There's pretty much nothing that tastes bad on a hot dog.
Well, in a homemade hot dog, get that. You're not talking Oscar Mayer, right?
No, we do. Yeah, I mean, we do real, traditional Frankfurters. Honestly, that's kind of what launched the company. We were doing all these sort of esoteric salamis and stuff. And once we started making hot dogs, we started making money. So that's what people love.
The American palate, right? Yeah.
I'll tell you. It's great, though. You know, they're my favorite hot dog. But, you know, when you're talking about, okay, so I'm going to go into the store and I'm going to buy an expensive, dry cured salami. What am I going to do with it? The first thing we start thinking about you got something that's rich and fatty. So the first things that we want are something that's going to cut through all that rich, fatty stuff. So we usually do, really bright fruits, berries, things that have a lot of acidity like that. Apples are great. If you want to just go straight things that you can, that you can buy that are raw. And then, you start thinking about different mustards, pickles, a lot of the things you traditionally think of going with a sausage make a lot of sense, for the exact same reasons. Go ahead.
So you do cheeses as well, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that is another, that's a whole other, area where you're talking about trying to match things that are complementary, with the salamis. But there's really the basic rule is that, if you put some really nice cheese, some really great salami and, a glass of wine, you're not going to be in a bad place. None of it's exactly. How bad can it really be?
Well, I don't know. After a couple loaves of cheese, my wife's not too happy.
Well, that's because you eat Velveeta.
You just need to give her more wine, and it'll all work out.
Yeah. No, but that's really interesting, Eric. These sausages, are most of them made with pork, or what goes into them?
So we do all pork sausages, but you can make. That mainly has to do with USDA rules about having different meats in the plant at the same time. So we do all pork, but you can make sausage out of anything. Talk about, you get a meat grinder and then you show up at your venison camp or, your deer camp and you're really everybody's friend.
Yeah,
because,
woodchuck.
You can absolutely woodchuck sausage. Fantastic.
Yes.
I think that pork fat is kind of the most universally used for sausages. So I'll make rabbit sausage, but put pork fat in it just because it's the best for melting and the way that it eats and everything. But you can make sausage out of it. Anything that you can grind, you can make sausage out of.
Right. So I'm back to pork butter, buddy. Pork butter how's it pronounced? Roulette?
Riette. Yeah. Riette. So, like silent L's, but yeah, it's okay. Two L's.
Great. So that is a, so you've cooked that down, that pork down far enough that it also, it's almost buttery. You said it's disintegrated. You've broken down the texture. Is that right?
Exactly. And so think about you guys have a lot of ducks there. I'm sure right. You do a lot of duck hunting as well. So duck confit, it's the same thing. You take a leg, a leg of duck, and you salt it overnight, season it like you would a steak. Let it sit in a plastic bag or, whatever, overnight, and let that salt work on the meat. And then you cover it in duck fat, put it in an oven, a low oven, for about 3 or 4 hours. Take it out and just put it outside. And this time of year, let it cool. As long as that meat's below the surface of the fat, there's not going to be any air on it, and it'll preserve. And that's a centuries old method of preserving duck and goose in Gascony and all parts of France.
Wow.
So you do the same thing, and then you take that out and shred it and mix it with a little bit of the fat, and that's duck riette. And so. It's insane. It's like one of the most delicious things you'll ever eat.
Is it kind of like a consistency, Andrew, like marrow?
I'm not really familiar with that. I would say it's like
kind of like almost like a gelatin type.
Well, no. So there's no there is a gelatin on the bottom of it, but there's no actual gelatin in it because all of the liquid flows to the bottom of the pan. If you can imagine, like, fat floats above water, right?
I've been doing that my whole life. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Me too. Increasingly these days. It's just it's just really rich. Just so yeah, impregnated with that rich flavor all the way through it. And yeah, it breaks down completely. You can serve it warm. You can serve it cold. It's fantastic.
Nice. Well, Eric, hey, we're out of time, brother, but thank you so much for making time. I know you're a busy man, and I promise you I am going to darken your door in the not-too-distant future because I want to try some of this wonderful food that you you air over every day. But thanks again for your time, and we'll talk with you soon.
Great talking to you guys. I'll be back anytime.
All right, bye now.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
Oh, my nephew, Eric. I know he's forgot more than I'll ever know about food, but man, is it fun to talk with him. He's a little heady, you can tell on this
stuff.
He's
passionate.
But he's passionate. He's very passionate. So coming up next, something you're passionate about, a little bit of bourbon. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.